The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll resume in the word of truth this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that is designed for believers to assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life, that is, the teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine, and gapping it under the grace apparatus perception, which is the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The believer priest is either in fellowship or out of fellowship at any given point in time in their Christian life. How you get out of fellowship is through personal sin. How you restore the filling of God the Holy Spirit, getting back into fellowship, is a rebound technique, 1 John 1:9. This verse is given to believers for believers so that we can deal with our sin nature in time experientially and otherwise have and possess and utilize the plus R of God via the human spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in regards to our Christian lives, and to be therefore predisposed as it is right now to assimilate, to understand the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for all the provisions of your plan, the grace aspect of your plan, that we as fleshly creatures can still engage and fulfill your plan for our life, fulfilling our obligations before you in regards to our positive volition to glorify you, glorifying our Lord and Savior for all eternity in this vein. And we ask once again this morning for the grace for God the Holy Spirit in regards to understanding of the things before us. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen. Paul has thus far set forth the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture and the doctrine of apostasy as it pertains to a worldwide apostasy and fulfilled in the person of the Antichrist and his revelation as doctrines that these believers could draw upon in regards to refuting the erroneous doctrine presented to them that somehow now they're already under or in the day of the Lord in the tribulational period. And Paul makes clear at this point in time in the chapter that he expects them fully to draw off this doctrine, and the fact that they also know further doctrine in this regards that they can draw upon, and that reflects and revolves around ministry of God the Holy Spirit as a restrainer. That was verse 6. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. That verse makes clear that the timing of the revelation, the appearance of the Antichrist, is governed by God himself. It is under divine restraint and will not occur until the divine timing so proclaims in regards to human history. And the restrainer, the one who restrains the restrainer, is none other than God the Holy Spirit. His ministry in regards to our particular dispensation and the fact that he checks, holds up, detains any premature aspect in regards to a satanic plan in life, including the master plan of the Antichrist in regards to our Christian lives. Obviously, something that we hold to, recognize, and promise, and draw upon in thankfulness in regards to the grace given to us living in this particular dispensation. Now, in verse 7, he continues on, with respect to the ministry of the restrainer here as it applies further to what's called the mystery of lawlessness. Titled verse 7 here, the conspiracy of the apostasy. In verse 3, Paul made clear that the day of the Lord is not going to be in effect unless there is a falling away spiritually that dominates the landscape, the scene of the world in this regard, called an apostasy. And now we reflect back upon that principle in the conspiracy itself regarding this apostasy. Looking at the Greek here, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You have the explanatory gar, G-A-R. Looking at the connection of the restrainer and the appearance of God the Holy Spirit, explaining for the mystery. Our noun for mystery with the definite article is to musterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, musterion, mystery. It's from mustes in the Greek, which means an initiate, like initiate into a club, organization, etc. And also from mueo, which means to wink or blink. The wink of the eye denotes a hidden thought often in regards to when one winks to another person. And hence, you have the concept of a mystery or secret purpose that's brought out from this word. It's used 28 times in the New Testament. And here the mystery in view is of lawlessness. Of lawlessness is the noun with the definite article, hey, anomia, A-N-O-M-I-A. Saw the noun back in verse 3 as part of the title of the man of lawlessness. So we have the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Already is the adverb of time, ede, E-D-E. At work is a present middle indicative of our verb energeo, N-E-E-R-G-E-O. Is self-working, operative, active. It's used 21 times, that particular verb. And it continues on here, only he who now restrains, supplied, will do so until he is taken out of the way. Only is the adverb monos, he alone, M-O-N-O-S is the idea. Only or alone. Again, we have our verb for the restrainer, he who now restrains, definite article with the participle, substantival participle, present active, ho kateko, K-A-T-E-C-H-O. Will do so, is supplied, until he is taken out of the way. We have another adverb of time here, translated until, arti, A-R-T-I. Now, from now on, henceforth, is the idea. We'll do so, as we noticed, supplied by the New American Standard for since. Then we have another temporal conjunction, heos, heos, H-E-O-S, until up to the point. So, from now on, now, restrains, excuse me, that was the arti, until is heos, until up to the point. He is taken out of the way. You have here in the Greek the subjunctive verb eros deponent. Literally, he becomes ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I. until he becomes taken. Then we have the preposition ek, out from, ek, plus our adjective used pronominally here, mesos, M-E-S-O-S. Literally, the midst. Out from the midst. Out from among is the literal translation. It's an idiom, obviously, meaning taken out of the way or from among. Rereading the verse again. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Analysis now of verse 7. Verse 7 explains further why the role of the restrainer is important as it relates to the present era, that being the church age, per the explanatory conjunction for or gar. The believers in the early church recognized clearly the Holy Spirit in this ministry and role as a restrainer, just as he is in the role of advocate or helper, comforter in this regard. So they recognize this doctrine. They readily, as Paul says, know in regards to his ministry in this respect. And he goes on to continue, continues on here, in addition to holding up any premature appearance of the Antichrist, to denote that he has further importance as it pertains particularly to the time in which they live, the church age. And that is too, this because the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The evil of the Antichrist has a preceding ideology, organized ideology, that is active in the church age, setting the stage for his appearance and the evil that he will otherwise represent in that respect. And here we have the fact that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work to describe this apostasy, as is otherwise put into words in verse 3. So 3, the restrainer's ministry not only controls when the Antichrist appears. God is in control of all circumstances, situations. He has perfect timing for everything, every aspect of history. And nothing occurs in history apart from divine will. And he, obviously, as God, has the power. He controls everything, including the expressions of evil, the satanic counterfeit plan that he has. And this means controlling when exactly the Antichrist appears. And he not only does that, but continuing point 3 here, but further retards satanic momentum of influencing preceding powers to be in preparation for this event. He keeps in check individuals who in history facilitate the satanic scheme of the Antichrist. These are individuals in history who are negative, obviously, to Bible doctrine to a great extreme. And they, in and of themselves, perpetuate the doctrine of demons, the evil of Satan, and this in an organized, influential way, indicating obviously they have power, etc., attributed to them in order to carry out their agendas. And in regards to the evil that's going on behind the scenes and otherwise being input into societies, the world at large. The restrainer, God the Holy Spirit, is constantly keeping the momentum of all this and all those who are involved in check, not to allow their evil to go beyond a certain point apart from what God otherwise permits. And especially as it would apply in regards to escalating to its maximum point and saturation of evil, as will be manifested, personified in the person of Antichrist himself. So the restrainer's ministry, point three again, not only controls when Antichrist appears, but further retards satanic momentum of influencing preceding powers to be in preparation for this event. Whether people recognize it or not, occult activity is behind the scenes on many occasions, and especially on the world scene in regards to the new world order that is now facing the world and society. There are those people who are negative, who seek to employ the power of Satan, his viewpoint, etc. Satan worshipers, they're out there. While not all may come out of the closet, so to speak, many still ascribe to the very principles, no matter what level of manifestation they may project in regards to their form of worship. The occult, cults and occults, have long been behind the scene of empirical powers, national powers, and things of this nature throughout history. The pagan religions of the Old Testament, as well as New Testament, Rome, Hellenistic beliefs, things of this nature, these all directly influence in regards to many of the sovereign kings and leaders of that time, and they ascribe to these principles. And it is through these types of avenues that Satan, through the doctrine of demons, is able to communicate to people ideas, activities, things of this nature in regards to doing evil and fulfilling his agenda as the ruler of the world. Even those leaders who may, on the surface, appear to be godly, but then you hear, you know, things that behind the scenes they're ascribing to, such as astrology. Astrology is evil. Astrology doesn't give you doctrine. If I remember correctly, Nancy Reagan was involved in astrology. Yet we tout Reagan as a great leader. Well, when you look at his company, we would say definitely better in that regard. But you have these things going on, many things that people don't recognize in regards to people's own personal beliefs in life. And obviously, it doesn't take a lot of doctrine to see through the facade of people of this ilk over time when they are continually expressing themselves. So, this is not anything new to the understanding of the adjusted believer of satanic influence in regards to people who have power and control over others, especially in a big way, as it might be applicable in regards to the great merchants of the world, those who are exceedingly rich. Don't believe one second of the Forbes deal of the 10 richest people in the world. They're not going to report who the real richest people in the world are. These people don't want you to know how much money they have because it's so filthily enormous. See, the Rockefellers, Bilderbergs, people of this ilk. Here we go again. I'm going to stir those demons up, and I'll talk about this stuff a lot. Anyway, the mystery of lawlessness is, as the Bible describes, the agenda that's going on, which is obviously in direct connection with the fulfillment and appearance of the Antichrist and the agenda of Satan. So now for the term mystery, to mysterion, looks to the heretofore concealed but now disclosed purposes of God. A mystery, just like a mystery movie, they keep hidden who the ultimate murderer is or whatever, but eventually brings about, usually presents clues leading to it, and brings about disclosing, you know, the aspect of the mystery involved. And as it reflects and applies to God's Word and His plan, it looks to something that has been hidden or concealed, but now is disclosed and able to be understood. So 5, the Hebrew or Aramaic equivalent, which is Raza in the Aramaic, R-A-Z-A, is used, seen in Daniel, in several verses there, Daniel 2, 18, 19, 27, 28, 29, 30, 47, chapter 4, verse 9. And this, as it reflects upon regards to the king's dreams and much of what this leads to, is dual prophecy and prophecy leading to the last days. Daniel 2:18. You have his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter in regards to the king's dream, etc. And the activities surrounding that, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. They become known for having this innate ability and discernment to interpret dreams that often are in a obscure, mysterious fashion, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then throughout the section there, the term mystery is used continually. And it looks at the mystery as it applies to doctrine being applied to the interpretation. And that's why the other men couldn't figure it out, because it was doctrinally based. See, and God obviously gives them the ability to do so. Also in 4:9, it's used there in the vision of the great tree. Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, in his Babylonian name. Chief of the magicians. Since I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, no mystery baffles you. God enlightens those who are positive. And here he blessed Daniel big time in his association while in captivity. In that respect. So we have the term mystery also reflected in the Aramaic or Hebrew equivalent. So 6, mystery does not refer to doctrine that cannot be understood by the average person, but refers to that which is hidden from negative volition. Just because it's a mystery doesn't mean that you can't understand it. It just means it takes a little effort. You got to put pieces of the puzzle together. And for those who are negative, it remains a mystery. Matthew 13:11. Back at the parsing.
Right there.
Point one. No, just kidding.
Oh, no, don't do that to me.
All right, dealing with the term mystery. And as I was stating, Jesus taught in terms of parables. And while the human perspective might think that this is tripping up people that otherwise might be saved, but nothing could be further from the truth. People come to an understanding of Bible doctrine and are saved because they are positive. This is what they want. And if something is proclaimed to them that may not be clearly understood, they will continue to seek and search out the answer for it. And they are willing to line themselves up in regards to doctrine. So, verse 10 here in Matthew 13. And disciples came and said to him, Christ, why do you speak to them in parables? Denoting that Jesus obviously knew men. They ultimately knew who was negative and who was positive. And that you don't have to sit there and quote, evangelize, as the fundies would have you do, when people are negative around you otherwise, and it becomes prevalent or becomes very much aware that this is what they are. Verse 11, and he responded and said to them, to you, or because, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven there looks to the doctrine that was embedded in regards to the parables of the teaching. You are his disciples, those who ultimately are positive, who have attached themselves to his ministry, and are willing to align themselves up with his thinking in spite of their problems spiritually otherwise. He says, but on the other hand, but to them, it has not been granted. God knows who ultimately is positive and who is negative. And for those who are negative, just as relating a principle in a parabolic form that one cannot understand on the surface without further investigation and understanding attached to it, for those who are negative, it remains hidden. It remains a mystery. And the evidence is they will not continue to come to the light. to see and understand these things as it's related to otherwise in the Gospel of John. See, to come to the truth. So, how often do we see it that God's ways and thinking are not the ways of men and not the thinking of men? His ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth, etc., so are His ways and thoughts. God knows who's ultimately positive, who's negative. Those who are positive will demonstrate it through their attachment to a sound ministry, to their embracing the truth of Bible doctrine. Those who are negative, while they may be in the company of it, because of their negative volition, will these things will just continue, just go by them. That will be nothing more than some academic practice or emotional response in regards to their truly understanding and putting things together in the scheme of God's plan for their life. With their eyes they do not see, with their ears they do not hear. Even though they do see and do hear. Spiritually, they remain blind and deaf to the truth, while physically they may hear the words audibly and see the doctrine even written down on paper or whatever. The religious leaders of Jesus' time, the First Advent, constantly in the Old Testament, studying it, but yet completely failing to reach the correct interpretations and spiritual realities that are embedded in regards to the Scriptures. And Christ's sense of humor is of such that at times He would look him square in the eye and ask him, "Do you not study the Scriptures?" As a rebuke, see. A chide. So, the Bible makes very clear that the mysteries there, as it pertains to Bible doctrine in general, remains hidden to those who are negative. And that is because they are negative. If they're positive, He's not going to keep it hidden. It's up to the person's choice. You can't make someone positive. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much you emote on. I don't care how much of the doctrine of separation you violate in your life. You'll still not ever make a negative person positive. People do that on their own free will. See, that's their choice. It's nothing more often in thinking that goes beyond the doctrine itself in this regard. It's nothing more than the fundamentality of trying to, you know, pray people to heaven and things of that nature. And I'm not saying don't pray for people. That's not what I'm saying. Keep it in context. Point 7, on the other hand, positive volition is granted insight into these mysteries. Into these mysteries. Why do we have a depth of insight in regards to the Scriptures that you don't find in mainline Christianity in the denominational world? Well, according to Scripture, the only thing I can ascribe it to is because we're positive. See, this is what we want. This is what we seek. And we seek it with that kind of volition that God sponsors. Yeah, there's many others out there that devote their lifetime in regards to studying the things of God. Go out and spend many hours and years, you know, of education, etc. And yet, spiritually, they remain as naive and as stupid as an infant in many cases. Why? Because they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're not doing it because they really want to know God. That's their ultimate and most driving desire in life. That's the difference between positive volition and one who's otherwise lukewarm or cold. This insatiable desire to know God and His plan and to serve Him in that capacity. And again, it's not some academic practice, not just so that we can have this information. It's so that we can apply this information in our lives. And God recognizes that. And He gives us insight, just as we read in James, and we dealt with it in the book of James, that He's not stingy for those who want to possess wisdom. But you've got to not be a vacillating type of individual if you want God to bless you in that area. You say you want the truth. You come to Bible class to get the truth. I teach you the truth. And you walk out and take issue with it. So be it. If you want to be the vacillator type, all right, remain ignorant to doctrine then. And while people may think that it's just this doctrine or one doctrine, I'm here to tell you the principle of little leaven, leaven is a whole lump of dough, is true. It will ultimately have an effect in regards to your Christian life and other areas of your life. I've watched some of my peers go down this path, many of them, over the years. A little distortion of doctrine here, a little distortion of doctrine there. And you look at it and you go, good grief, how can they be doing this now? Many of you probably know people of the same ilk. Well, that's because they decided they weren't going to be positive to the epignosis, the entire counsel of the truth, any longer. For whatever reasons. And obviously, I can't judge that. None of us can. That's between them and God. But on the other hand, positive volition is granted to know the things of God that are otherwise hidden to the world. All right, point eight here, I give you a list of New Testament mysteries as things are related to with the term mysterion as a mystery, including just as commensurate with what we saw in Matthew 13:11, a mysteries of the kingdom of God or heaven as taught in the parabolic teaching of Jesus. Another parallel there is Luke 8:10. To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables. Why? In order that, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. In order that, they can manifest their negative volition. You can read that paraphrase in that very verse. See. To provide evidence truly where they are coming from in regards to their volitional propensity. And then, there again, the mysteries here are all the doctrines that are available in regards to God's plan for our life. The kingdom of God is the plan of God, that which represents the heavenly kingdom. B, you have the mystery of the church age. It's referred to dispensationally, specifically as a mystery that was largely hidden from past generations. The church age dispensation, the Old Testament saints, they could have known through Scripture that their dispensation and nation was going to be replaced by another nation that turning out to be a nation made up of many nations. But beyond that, and recognizing the ramifications with regards to Israel, in regards to being a reversionism, dispersion, and things of this nature. Beyond that, other aspects in regards to the church age, all the doctrine that's going to be attributed to the church age, how believers are to function in their priesthood and things of this nature, was not hit, not revealed in the Old Testament. Romans, compare Romans 11:25.
For I do not want you, Paul speaking, brothers, to be uninformed of this mystery. That mystery is the mystery concerning the wild olive tree being cultivated into the domesticated olive tree. That's the church taken over in regards to the dispensational authority and privilege over the age of Israel, which is the preceding context in that regard. And he says, I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, unless you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, denoting their negative volition corporately. But it's just parenthetical. And for us as believers, not to get into the self-righteous mode, the anti-Semitic attitude, because the Jews did this and that, etc., that somehow you're better than they are. Understand, you're evil in your own right, based on your sin nature. Yeah, we may not engage in some what we consider horrific sins in our life, but we're still nothing but filthy menstrual rags to God in regards to our SCA and self-righteousness. See, no matter what that SCA trend is. And we are to remember, we are a dispensation of grace. Because of Israel's failure, God obviously is able to insert the Gentile population dispensationally into His plan. And population comes from that, obviously, making it possible. But the church age, in and of itself, and to maintain the proper attitude, and it's referred to as a mystery doctrine, Romans 16:25. Jews are still God's chosen people. And they still have a plan. They will fulfill God's plan ultimately. From them came our Savior. Christianity is in complete harmony with the Old Testament doctrine. That's why we refer to it as Judeo-Christianity, not Muslim Christianity. By the way, a Muslim religion that is known today didn't come into effect until around 600 A.D. They're all counterfeits. Romans 16:25. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and proclaiming of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past. And that centers on the church age doctrine that comes out of the epistle to the Roman church in that regards. 1 Corinthians 2:1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superiority of speech to the church of Corinth, or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God in the correct manuscript. Also verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. God in eternity past worked out all the details of His plan for mankind and human history, as well as angelic history and into the future. Many years away in faraway galaxies. See. God has already worked all that out. Whatever testing you're facing right now, God knew in eternity past that you would be in this condition or you would be in this situation. The test is to take doctrine and to utilize that doctrine to deal with the test and to pass the test, glorifying God in that fashion. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, stewards of the church age dispensation and the teaching of it, explanation of it, shepherding, etc. Ephesians 1:9 and following. be made known to us, us being positive believers, the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He planned, God the Father, planned in Him, Christ, as we are, our dispensation is fulfilled through the person of Christ and our relationship with Him, with a view or with respect to an administration or dispensation of the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth, etc. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Verse 1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief." There, in the early church, before the New Testament was written, God did not keep doctrine necessary from early church age believers, and He would utilize supernatural gifts such as would be possessed by the apostles, prophecy, prophets, wisdom, knowledge, things of this nature, to fill in the blanks, to make provision in regards to this new dispensation and all that's expected of believers in that regards. And hence the revelation given to Paul, as I wrote before in brief, he had obviously sent an earlier epistle to this local church. This is a fairly popular local church at the time. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ in regards to the fullness of Christ, of the times, the fact that we are in a special dispensation. We have a special relationship with Him. We are the bride of Christ. We are royalty, spiritually, even though the world may look at us as paupers or dregs or whatever else. Yeah. They want to categorize us in. And by referring to this, verse 4, or verse 5, "which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men," that's the preceding Old Testament generations, "that has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And this dispensation is unique in the fact that all believers are on equal footing, equal grounds before God. There is no superior classification based on race, such as it is in the Jewish or the age of Israel. And that is that the Gentiles have become an integral part of God's plan in the person of Jesus Christ, along with His own race, humanly speaking, the Jews. Verse 6, "to be specific, the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel." Now verse 9, "to bring to light what is the dispensation," literally, "of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things." 5:32. This mystery is great. I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. To Christ and the church. That particular dispensation. Colossians 1:26-27. Verse 24, "Now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake," Paul the Apostle, on behalf of the local church of Colossae. "And in my flesh I do share on my behalf of His body," the body of Christ, which is the church. That's the church universal that is manifested in a physical, organized way through the local church, the microcosm of the church universal. of each local church and filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the proclaiming of the word of God. That is a mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but it has now been manifested to his saints, revealed through the teaching of church age doctrine, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the doctrine in you, the new doctrine of the church. You have see the mystery of the person of Christ. To understand our Lord and Savior in regards to his person and what that means in representation, Colossians 4:3. Verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, the shepherds, the apostles, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, what he provides for mankind in terms of salvation, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul became a political prisoner because of his stand for Christianity. 1 Timothy 3:16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. And the godliness is hidden concepts, is expressed through the person of Christ. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated by the Spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, lived on in the world, taken up in glory. Godliness is found only in the person of Christ for us. B, you had the mystery of the importance of Bible doctrine. The doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine. 1 Timothy 3:9. In regards to part of the godliness code for deacons, and their attitude in regards to doctrine itself, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Holding to the mystery of the faith looks to embracing the truth of Bible doctrine and the principle of NPR with a clear conscience, knowing that you are and have made coming to the light your priority to assimilate the truth. See? Mystery of the faith. Faith is in the passive sense there in regards to doctrine. How important it is. You can't do what you're supposed to do if you don't know what to do. Hence why we come to Bible class. You have the doctrine of the rapture of the church. That is also referred to as a mystery. Again, a doctrine we can understand to a great degree, and that is unique in regards to our dispensation, as there will be some who are alive when Christ returns at the rapture and will not ever face death, physical death. And the rapture of the church, where all believers, dead and alive, will receive resurrection bodies. We are to be first fruits in that regard, following our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Paul, here again. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not everyone will die, sleep being used metaphorically for physical death, but to be changed denotes an instantaneous transformation of physical existence into a new spiritually made body by the hands of God Himself. All right, take our break. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll resume in the word of truth this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment, with this academic setting, that is designed for believers to assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life, that is, the teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine, and gapping it under the grace apparatus perception, which is the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The believer priest is either in fellowship or out of fellowship at any given point in time in their Christian life. How you get out of fellowship is through personal sin. How you restore the filling of God the Holy Spirit, getting back into fellowship, is a rebound technique, 1 John 1:9. This verse is given to believers, for believers, so that we can deal with our sin nature in time experientially, and otherwise have and possess and utilize the plus R of God via the human spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in regards to our Christian lives, and to be therefore predisposed, as it is right now, to assimilate, to understand the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for all the provisions of your plan, the grace aspect of your plan, that we as fleshly creatures can still engage and fulfill your plan for our life, fulfilling our obligations before you in regards to our positive volition to glorify you, glorifying our Lord and Savior for all eternity in this vein. And we ask once again this morning for the grace for God the Holy Spirit in regards to understanding of the things before us. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen. Paul has thus far set forth the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture and the doctrine of apostasy as it pertains to a worldwide apostasy and fulfilled in the person of the Antichrist and his revelation as doctrines that these believers could draw upon in regards to refuting the erroneous doctrine presented to them that somehow now they're already under or in the day of the Lord in the tribulational period. And Paul makes clear at this point in time in the chapter that he expects them fully to draw off this doctrine, and the fact that they also know further doctrine in this regards that they can draw upon, and that reflects and revolves around ministry of God the Holy Spirit as a restrainer. That was verse 6. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. That verse makes clear that the timing of the revelation, the appearance of the Antichrist, is governed by God himself. It is under divine restraint and will not occur until the divine timing so proclaims in regards to human history. And the restrainer, the one who restrains the restrainer, is none other than God the Holy Spirit. His ministry in regards to our particular dispensation and the fact that he checks, holds up, detains any premature aspect in regards to a satanic plan in life, including the master plan of the Antichrist in regards to our Christian lives. Obviously, something that we hold to, recognize, and promise, and draw upon in thankfulness in regards to the grace given to us living in this particular dispensation. Now, in verse 7, he continues on with respect to the ministry of the restrainer here as it applies further to what's called the mystery of lawlessness. Titled verse 7 here, the conspiracy of the apostasy. In verse 3, Paul made clear that the day of the Lord is not going to be in effect unless there is a falling away spiritually that dominates the landscape, the scene of the world in this regard, called an apostasy. And now we reflect back upon that principle in the conspiracy itself regarding this apostasy. Looking at the Greek here, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You have the explanatory gar, G-A-R. Looking at the connection of the restrainer and the appearance of God the Holy Spirit, explaining for the mystery. Our noun for mystery with the definite article is to musterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, musterion, mystery. It's from mustes in the Greek, which means an initiate. Like initiate into a club, organization, etc. And also from mueo, which means to wink or blink. The wink of the eye denotes a hidden thought often in regards to when one winks to another person. And hence, you have the concept of a mystery or secret purpose. That's brought out from this word. It's used 28 times in the New Testament. And here the mystery in view is of lawlessness. Of lawlessness is a noun with the definite article, hey, anomia, A-N-O-M-I-A. Saw the noun back in verse 3 as part of the title of the man of lawlessness. So we have the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Already is the adverb of time, ede, E-D-E. At work is a present middle indicative of our verb energeo, N-E-E-R-G-E-O. Is self-working, operative, active. It's used 21 times, that particular verb. And it continues on here, only he who now restrains, supplied, will do so until he is taken out of the way. Only is the adverb monos, he alone, M-O-N-O-S is the idea. Only or alone, again we have our verb for the restrainer, he who now restrains, definite article with the participle, substantival participle, present active, ho kateko, K-A-T-E-C-H-O. Will do so, is supplied, until he is taken out of the way. We have another adverb of time here, translated until, RT. A-R-T-I. Now, from now on, henceforth, is the idea. We'll do so, as we noted, supplied by the New American Standard for since. Then we have another temporal conjunction, heos, heos, H-E-O-S, until up to the point. So, from now on, now, restrains, excuse me, that was the arti, until is heos, until up to the point. He is taken out of the way. You have here in the Greek the subjunctive verb, aorist deponent, literally he becomes Ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I, until he becomes taken. Then we have the preposition ek, out from, E-K, plus our adjective used pronominally here, mesos, M-E-S-O-S. Literally, the midst. Out from the midst, out from among, is the literal translation. It's an idiom, obviously, meaning taken out of the way or from among. Rereading the verse again. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Analysis now of verse 7. Verse 7 explains further why the role of the restrainer is important as it relates to the present era, that being the church age, per the explanatory conjunction for or gar. The believers in the early church recognized clearly the Holy Spirit in this ministry and role as a restrainer, just as he is in the role of advocate or helper, comforter in this regard. So they recognize this doctrine. They readily, as Paul says, know in regards to his ministry in this respect. And he goes on to continue, continues on here, in addition to holding up any premature appearance of the Antichrist, to denote that he has further importance as it pertains particularly to the time in which they live, the church age. And that is too, this because the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The evil of the Antichrist has a preceding ideology, organized ideology, that is active in the church age, setting the stage for his appearance and the evil that he will otherwise represent in that respect. And here we have the fact that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work to describe this apostasy, as is otherwise put into words in verse 3. So 3, the restrainer's ministry not only controls when the Antichrist appears. God is in control of all circumstances, situations. He has perfect timing for everything, every aspect of history. And nothing occurs in history apart from divine will. And he, obviously, as God, has the power. He controls everything, including the expressions of evil, the satanic counterfeit plan that he has. And this means controlling when exactly the Antichrist appears. And he not only does that, but continuing point 3 here, but further retards satanic momentum of influencing preceding powers to be in preparation for this event. He keeps in check individuals who in history facilitate the satanic scheme of the Antichrist. These are individuals in history who are negative, obviously, to Bible doctrine to a great extreme. And they, in and of themselves, perpetuate the doctrine of demons, the evil of Satan, and this in an organized, influential way, indicating obviously they have power, etc., attributed to them in order to carry out their agendas. and in regards to the evil that's going on behind the scenes and otherwise being input into societies, the world at large, the restrainer, God the Holy Spirit, is constantly keeping the momentum of all this and all those who are involved in check, not to allow their evil to go beyond a certain point apart from what God otherwise permits. And especially as it would apply in regards to escalating to its maximum point and saturation of evil, as will be manifested, personified in the person of Antichrist himself. So the restrainer's ministry, point three again, not only controls when Antichrist appears, but further retards satanic momentum of influencing preceding powers to be in preparation for this event. Whether people recognize it or not, occult activity is behind the scenes on many occasions, especially on the world scene in regards to the new world order that is now facing the world and society. There are those people who are negative, who seek to employ the power of Satan, his viewpoint, etc. Satan worshipers, they're out there. While not all may come out of the closet, so to speak, many still ascribe to the very principles, no matter what level of manifestation they may project in regards to their form of worship. The occult, cults and occults, have long been behind the scene of empirical powers, national powers, and things of this nature throughout history. The pagan religions of the Old Testament, as well as New Testament, Rome, Hellenistic beliefs, things of this nature, these all directly influence in regards to many of the sovereign kings and leaders of that time, and they ascribe to these principles. And it is through these types of avenues that Satan, through the doctrine of demons, is able to communicate to people ideas, activities, things of this nature in regards to doing evil and fulfilling his agenda as the ruler of the world. Even those leaders who may, on the surface, appear to be godly, but then you hear, you know, things that behind the scenes they're ascribing to, such as astrology. Astrology is evil. Astrology doesn't give you doctrine. If I remember correctly, Nancy Reagan was involved in astrology. Yet we tout Reagan as a great leader. Well, when you look at his company, we would say definitely better in that regard. But you had these things going on. Many things that people don't recognize in regards to people's own personal beliefs in life. And obviously, it doesn't take a lot of doctrine to see through the facade of people of this ilk over time when they are continually expressing themselves. So, this is not anything new to the understanding of the adjusted believer of satanic influence in regards to people who have power and control over others, especially in a big way. as it might be applicable in regards to the great merchants of the world, those who are exceedingly rich. Don't believe one second of the Forbes deal of the 10 richest people in the world. They're not going to report who the real richest people in the world are. These people don't want you to know how much money they have because it's so filthily enormous. See, the Rockefellers, Bilderbergs, people of this ilk. Here we go again. I'm going to stir those demons up, and I'll talk about this stuff a lot. Anyway, the mystery of lawlessness is, as the Bible describes, the agenda that's going on, which is obviously in direct connection with the fulfillment and appearance of the Antichrist and the agenda of Satan. So now for the term mystery, to mysterion, looks to the heretofore concealed but now disclosed purposes of God. A mystery, just like a mystery movie, they keep hidden who the ultimate murderer is or whatever, but eventually brings about, usually presents clues leading to it, and brings about disclosing, you know, the aspect of the mystery involved. And as it reflects and applies to God's Word and His plan, it looks to something that has been hidden or concealed, but now is disclosed and able to be understood. So five, the Hebrew or Aramaic equivalent, which is razah in the Aramaic, R-A-Z-A, is used, seen in Daniel in several verses there, Daniel 2, 18, 19, 27, 28, 29, 30, 47, chapter 4, verse 9. This, as it reflects upon regards to the king's dreams and much of what this leads to, is dual prophecy and prophecy leading to the last days. Daniel 2:18. You have his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter in regards to the king's dream, etc. And the activities surrounding that, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. They become known for having this innate ability and discernment to interpret dreams that often are in a obscure, mysterious fashion, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then throughout the section there, the term mystery is used continually. And it looks at the mystery as it applies to doctrine being applied to the interpretation. And that's why the other men couldn't figure it out, because it was doctrinally based. See, and God obviously gives them the ability to do so. Also in 4:9, it's used there in the vision of the great tree. Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, in his Babylonian name. Chief of the magicians. Since I know that the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in you, no mystery baffles you. God enlightens those who are positive. And here he blessed Daniel big time in his association while in captivity. In that respect. So we have the term mystery also reflected in the Aramaic or Hebrew equivalent. So 6, mystery does not refer to doctrine that cannot be understood by the average person, but refers to that which is hidden from negative volition. Just because it's a mystery doesn't mean that you can't understand it. It just means it takes a little effort. You've got to put pieces of the puzzle together. And for those who are negative, it remains a mystery. Matthew 13:11. Back at the parsing.
Just right there.
Point one. No, just kidding.
Oh, no, don't do that to me.
All right, dealing with the term mystery. And as I was stating, Jesus taught in terms of parables. And while the human perspective might think that this is tripping up people that otherwise might be saved, but nothing could be further from the truth. People come to an understanding of Bible doctrine and are saved because they are positive. This is what they want. And if something is proclaimed to them that may not be clearly understood, they will continue to seek and search out the answer for it. And they are willing to line themselves up in regards to doctrine. So, verse 10 here in Matthew 13. And disciples came and said to him, Christ, why do you speak to them in parables? Denoting that Jesus obviously knew men. They ultimately knew who was negative and who was positive. And that you don't have to sit there and, quote, evangelize, as the fundies would have you do, when people are negative around you otherwise, and it becomes prevalent or becomes very much aware that this is what they are. Verse 11, and he responded and said to them, to you, or because, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven there looks to the doctrine that was embedded in regards to the parables of the teaching. You are his disciples, those who ultimately are positive, who have attached themselves to his ministry and are willing to align themselves up with his thinking in spite of their problems spiritually otherwise. He says, but on the other hand, but to them it has not been granted. God knows who ultimately is positive and who is negative. And for those who are negative, just as relating a principle in a parabolic form that one cannot understand on the surface without further investigation and understanding attached to it. For those who are negative, it remains hidden. It remains a mystery. And the evidence is they will not continue to come to the light to see and understand these things as it's related to otherwise in the Gospel of John. See, to come to the truth. So, how often do we see it that God's ways and thinking are not the ways of men and not the thinking of men? His ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth, etc., so are His ways and thoughts. God knows who's ultimately positive, who's negative. Those who are positive will demonstrate it through their attachment to a sound ministry, to their embracing the truth of Bible doctrine. Those who are negative, while they may be in the company of it, because of their negative volition, will these things will just continue, just go by them. That will be nothing more than some academic practice or emotional response in regards to their truly understanding and putting things together in the scheme of God's plan for their life. With their eyes they do not see, with their ears they do not hear. Even though they do see and do hear. Spiritually, they remain blind and deaf to the truth, while physically they may hear the words audibly and see the doctrine even written down on paper or whatever. The religious leaders of Jesus' time, the First Advent, constantly in the Old Testament, studying it, but yet completely failing to reach the correct interpretations and spiritual realities that are embedded in regards to the Scriptures. And Christ's sense of humor is of such that at times He would look him square in the eye and ask him, "Do you not study the Scriptures?" As a rebuke, see. A chide. So, the Bible makes very clear that the mysteries there, as it pertains to Bible doctrine in general, remains hidden to those who are negative. And that is because they are negative. If they're positive, He's not going to keep it hidden. It's up to the person's choice. You can't make someone positive. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much you emote on. I don't care how much of the doctrine of separation you violate in your life. You'll still not ever make a negative person positive. People do that on their own free will. See, that's their choice. It's nothing more often in thinking that goes beyond the doctrine itself in this regard. It's nothing more than the fundamentality of trying to, you know, pray people to heaven and things of that nature. And I'm not saying don't pray for people. That's not what I'm saying. Keep it in context. Point 7, on the other hand, positive volition is granted insight into these mysteries. Into these mysteries. Why do we have a depth of insight in regards to the Scriptures that you don't find in mainline Christianity in the denominational world? Well, according to the Scripture, the only thing I can ascribe it to is because we're positive. See, this is what we want. This is what we seek. And we seek it with that kind of volition that God sponsors. Yeah, there's many others out there that devote their lifetime in regards to studying the things of God. Go out and spend many hours and years, you know, of education, etc. And yet, spiritually, they remain as naive and as stupid as an infant in many cases. Why? Because they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're not doing it because they really want to know God. That's their ultimate and most driving desire in life. That's the difference between positive volition and one who's otherwise lukewarm or cold. This insatiable desire to know God and His plan and to serve Him in that capacity. And again, it's not some academic practice, not just so that we can have this information. It's so that we can apply this information in our lives. And God recognizes that. And He gives us insight, just as we read in James, and we dealt with it in the book of James, that He's not stingy for those who want to possess wisdom. But you've got to not be a vacillating type of individual if you want God to bless you in that area. You say you want the truth, you come to Bible class to get the truth, I teach you the truth, and you walk out and take issue with it. So be it. If you want to be the vacillator type, all right, remain ignorant to doctrine then. And while people may think well, it's just this doctrine or one doctrine, I'm here to tell you the principle of little leaven is a whole lump of dough is true. It will ultimately have an effect in regards to your Christian life in other areas of your life. I've watched some of my peers go down this path, many of them, over the years. A little distortion of doctrine here, a little distortion of doctrine there. And you look at it and you go, good grief, how can they be doing this now? Many of you probably know people of the same ilk. Well, that's because they decided they weren't going to be positive to the epignosis, the entire counsel of the truth, any longer. For whatever reasons. And obviously, I can't judge that. None of us can. That's between them and God. But on the other hand, positive volition is granted to know the things of God that are otherwise hidden to the world. All right, point eight here, I give you a list of New Testament mysteries as things are related to with the term mysterion as a mystery, including just as commensurate with what we saw in Matthew 13:11, a mysteries of the kingdom of God or heaven as taught in the parabolic teaching of Jesus. Another parallel there is Luke 8:10. To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables. Why? In order that, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. In order that, they can manifest their negative volition. You can read that paraphrase in that very verse. See. To provide evidence truly where they are coming from in regards to their volitional propensity. And then, there again, the mysteries here are all the doctrines that are available in regards to God's plan for our life. The kingdom of God is the plan of God, that which represents the heavenly kingdom. You have the mystery of the church age. It's referred to dispensationally, specifically as a mystery that was largely hidden from past generations. The church age dispensation, the Old Testament saints, they could have known through Scripture that their dispensation and nation was going to be replaced by another nation that turning out to be a nation made up of many nations. But beyond that, and recognizing the ramifications regards to Israel in regards to being reversionism, dispersion, and things of this nature. Beyond that, other aspects in regards to the church age, all the doctrine that's going to be attributed to the church age, how believers are to function in their priesthood and things of this nature, was not revealed in the Old Testament. Compare Romans 11:25. For I do not want you, Paul speaking, brothers, to be uninformed of this mystery. That mystery is the mystery concerning the wild olive tree being cultivated into the domesticated olive tree. That's the church taking over in regards to the dispensational authority and privilege over the age of Israel, which is the preceding context in that regard. And he says, I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, unless you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Denoting their negative volition corporately. But it's just parenthetical. And for us as believers, not to get into the self-righteous mode, the anti-Semitic attitude, because the Jews did this and that, etc., that somehow you're better than they are. Understand, you're evil in your own right, based on your sin nature. Yeah, we may not engage in some what we consider horrific sins in our life, but we're still nothing but filthy minstrel rags to God in regards to our SCA and self-righteousness. No matter what that SCA trend is. And we are to remember, we are a dispensation of grace. Because of Israel's failure, God obviously is able to insert the Gentile population dispensationally into His plan. And population comes from that, obviously, making it possible. But the church age, in and of itself, and to maintain the proper attitude, and it's referred to as a mystery doctrine, Romans 16:25. The Jews are still God's chosen people, and they still have a plan. They will fulfill God's plan ultimately. From them came our Savior. Christianity is in complete harmony with the Old Testament doctrine. That's why we refer to it as Judeo-Christianity, not Muslim Christianity. By the way, a Muslim religion that is known today didn't come into effect until around 600 AD. They're all counterfeits. Romans 16:25. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and proclaiming of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past. And that centers on the church age doctrine that comes out of the epistle to the Roman church in that regards. 1 Corinthians 2:1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superiority of speech to the church of Corinth, or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God in the correct manuscript. Also verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. God in eternity past worked out all the details of His plan for mankind and human history, as well as angelic history and into the future. Many years away in faraway galaxies. God has already worked all that out. whatever testing you're facing right now, God knew in eternity past that you would be in this condition or you would be in this situation. The test is to take doctrine and to utilize that doctrine to deal with the test and to pass the test, glorifying God in that fashion. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, stewards of the church age dispensation and the teaching of it, explanation of it, shepherding, etc. Ephesians 1, 9 and following. He made known to us, us being positive believers, the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He planned, God the Father, planned in Him, Christ, as we are, our dispensation is fulfilled through the person of Christ and our relationship with Him, with a view or with respect to an administration or dispensation of the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth, etc. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. There, in the early church, before the New Testament was written, God did not keep doctrine necessary from early church age believers, and He would utilize supernatural gifts, such as would be possessed by the apostles, prophecy, prophets, wisdom, knowledge, things of this nature, to fill in the blanks, to make provision in regards to this new dispensation and all that's expected of believers in that regards. And hence the revelation given to Paul, as I wrote before in brief, he had obviously sent an earlier epistle to this local church. This is fairly popular local church at the time. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ in the regards to the fullness of Christ, of the times, the fact that we are in a special dispensation. We have a special relationship with Him. We are the bride of Christ. We are royalty, spiritually, even though the world may look at us as paupers or dregs or whatever else. Yeah. They want to categorize us in. And by referring to this, verse 4, or verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, that's the preceding Old Testament generations, that has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And this dispensation is unique in the fact that all believers are on equal footing, equal grounds before God. There is no superior classification based on race, such as it is in the Jewish or the age of Israel. And that is that the Gentiles have become an integral part of God's plan in the person of Jesus Christ, along with His own race, humanly speaking, the Jews. Verse 9, or that's verse 6, excuse me, to be specific, the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now verse 9, to bring to light what is the dispensation, literally, of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. 5:32. This mystery is great. I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. to Christ and the church, that particular dispensation, Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Verse 24, now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, Paul the Apostle, on behalf of the local church of Colossae. And in my flesh I do share on my behalf of his body, the body of Christ, which is the church. That's the church universal that is manifested in a physical, organized way through the local church, the microcosm of the church universal of each local church, and filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the proclaiming of the word of God. That is a mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but it has now been manifested to his saints, revealed through the teaching of church age doctrine, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the doctrine in you, the new doctrine of the church. You have see the mystery of the person of Christ, to understand our Lord and Savior in regards to his person and what that means in representation. Colossians 4:3. Verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, the shepherds, the apostles, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, what he provides for mankind in terms of salvation, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul became a political prisoner because of his stand for Christianity. 1 Timothy 3:16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. And the godliness is hidden concepts, is expressed through the person of Christ. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated by the Spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, lived on in the world, taken up in glory. Godliness is found only in the person of Christ for us. D, you had the mystery of the importance of Bible doctrine. The doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine. 1 Timothy 3:9. In regards to part of the godliness code for deacons, in their attitude in regards to doctrine itself, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Holding to the mystery of the faith looks to embracing the truth of Bible doctrine and the principle of NPR with a clear conscience, knowing that you are and have made coming to the light your priority to assimilate the truth. See? Mystery of the faith. Faith is in the passive sense there in regards to doctrine. How important it is. You can't do what you're supposed to do if you don't know what to do. Hence why we come to Bible class. You have the doctrine of the rapture of the church. That is also referred to as a mystery. Again, a doctrine we can understand to a great degree, and that is unique in regards to our dispensation, as there will be some who are alive when Christ returns at the rapture and will not ever face death, physical death. And the rapture of the church, where all believers, dead and alive, will receive resurrection bodies. We are to be first fruits in that regard, following our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Paul, here again. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not everyone will die, sleep being used metaphorically for physical death, but to be changed denotes an instantaneous transformation of physical existence into a new spiritually made body by the hands of God Himself. All right, take our break.